You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Talking Reds baseball today on this Thursday, August 4th, with MLB.com's Phil Rogers. He is covering all things NL Central, and Phil is pinch hitting today for Mark Sheldon. So, Phil, we certainly appreciate the time. A lot to get to today. We're just hours removed from the Reds' 7-0 victory over the Cardinals in today's rubber game at Great American Ballpark. We're going to talk about that and about the performance in particular of Brandon Finnegan just in a couple of minutes. But first and foremost, the big newsmaker this week, without question, the trade of Jay Bruce. He ends up going to the New York Mets, and the Reds getting a pretty nice package back in return. So kind of a two-part question here, Phil. Bruce had that red-hot streak heading into the trade deadline, a very well-timed hot streak, if you will, homered in 5 straight games to tie a franchise record. So how much did that streak enhance his trade value? And then how much do you like the package in return that the Reds got back from the New York Mets?
Well, Matt, the issue or the always going to be the distinction from this trade is that Jay Bruce became the first player ever traded while leading his league in RBI. When you look at it that way, you know, I think you could understand people not thinking that the Reds got enough in this deal, but the way it shook out, it looked like Brandon Nimmo, the Mets prospect, was going to be the biggest piece going back, but it wound up being a second baseman, Dilson Herrera. I like Herrera a lot. I saw him early last year, when Daniel Murphy was on the disabled list. He came up from Double-A, and he's a very competitive hitter, a top of the order type guy. And whenever the Reds are ready to phase out Brandon Phillips, they will have a replacement part. They also get a left-handed pitcher who was one of the top 100 picks in the 2015 draft. So he's got the kind of an arm that teams look for. So I think they did wind up turning Jay Bruce into useful parts. It sure took a long time to do it, but you know, I think if Herrera pans out for a rental on 2 months of Jay Bruce, it'll be a nice return.
Yeah, certainly, and that's a great stat that I didn't even realize about Jay Bruce, the first player ever dealt when at the time of the deal leading the league in RBIs. That's quite the eye opener. So maybe a win-win here as the Reds getting back a nice package, and if Bruce can have anything resembling the impact that Yoenis Cespedes had for the Mets last year, then they will certainly be happy in and around Citi Field, no question. Phil, one guy that did not get dealt, to his surprise a little bit and to most people's surprise, I would think, Zach Cozart, who's currently banged up a little bit, but Cozart quoted as saying that he was surprised that the trade deadline came and went. He still found himself in a Reds uniform. Were you surprised that Cozart was not dealt?
Yeah, a little bit surprised. There were a lot of players around baseball that were on the blocks and weren't traded. In Chicago, you know, the White Sox had half a dozen, including Todd Frazier, the former Red. Only 1 year left. The White Sox talking about rebuilding, you would have thought he would have been a guy that would have been moved. Cozart's a little bit different because, the Reds are going to have him under control for a while yet. A very productive offensive player. Seattle seemed like a match. They had lost Ketel Marte to injury. They're hanging around the edges of the American League wild card race, so it looks like a very good race. I thought Cozart was a fit, and the team seemed to be engaged in serious talks for a long amount of time before the deadline. Normally, there can a situation like that will lead to a deal, but it did not in this one. And you know, it won't be the Reds' last chance to trade Zach Cozart, who, to his credit, has had a very good year this year. He's came up; he was considered a glove man, and he sort of emerged as a hitter. Needs to stay healthy for a full season, and. You know, as timing would have it, after that trade, he's been sidelined with a bruised finger. So, you know, I think Cozart's health's an issue. But I, like everybody else, I did think he was headed to the Mariners.
Yeah, I think a lot of people did. A lot of people had him penciled for somewhere out of town, no doubt. But here it is, the first week in August. He is still a Cincinnati Red. And Phil, on the topic of trades and guys that were brought back in big trades, you go back to 1 year ago, the Reds dealing Johnny Cueto to the Kansas City Royals. In return, they get a guy back by the name of Brandon Finnegan, and boy, did he look good today as the Reds defeat the Cardinals 7-0 to win the rubber game of that series. And Finnegan again, six scoreless, gave up one hit, and he's now put together 12 scoreless innings in his last two starts combined. You know, as far as Finnegan goes, Phil, the talent's always been there. That's been unquestioned, but do you think he's finally starting to turn the corner in terms of consistency, which has kind of eluded him thus far in his big league career?
Well, maybe, but in his defense, what a career he's had. I mean, he was drafted in 2014, wound up pitching in the World Series that year, pitched in the College World Series and the Major League World Series the same year. So he was rushed through the minor leagues, and then with the Royals, they didn't seem to really ever give him a real shot in the rotation. They always had guys like Danny Duffy ahead of him. They brought him up as a bullpen piece. The White Sox did that with Chris Sale, but then they moved him right into the rotation and left him. The Royals, instead of doing that with Finnegan, they used him in a trade, helped them get to their second World Series. I think just repetitions and innings. And, you know, right off the bat this year, Finnegan took a no-hitter into the sixth inning at Wrigley Field and showed right from the start that, you know, when he's throwing his breaking pitch, his slider over the plate with his fastball, he has a world of potential. And, yeah, I think he has built off it. It's been maybe a little bit of a roller coaster up and down year, but that's what you expect with young pitching. And it's not like he came to the Reds as a guy that had been had gone stale elsewhere in a system. He was just used in some short term ways at a point in his career where normally the thinking is long term.
Yeah, no question. And you brought up that start against the Cubs at Wrigley Field all the way back in April. And I think it's worth noting that his two outings this year where he gave up just the one hit, both against the Cardinals today and against the Cubs. So two of the very best in all of baseball. So that's certainly encouraging and hopefully a sign of what's to come down the road for Brandon Finnegan. Like I said, two consecutive starts of six innings and no runs given up. Phil, though, on the other end of that pitching spectrum for this team, Cody Reed really continues to struggle. Another highly touted prospect, but he is still searching for that first career win after falling to 0-6 and I believe eight career starts, the ERA north of 7. And I know that, you know, a lot of times when you see a young guy struggle like this out of the gate, the first thing to do or the first reaction you have is to send him back down to AAA. But Brian Price, though, has taken a different stand on this. He says, you know what, he's not going to benefit, he's not going to gain from going back to AAA. He's got to work things out at this level, at the very best level, the major league level. Some people disagree. What side of the fence are you on here?
This is not a team that's pushing to make the playoffs. The pressure to perform is pretty much the same whether you're in AAA or the major leagues when you're on a team that is not in a playoff hunt. What's different is the caliber of the hitters you're facing. And I agree. I mean, you've got to have success against the best hitters to gain your confidence. Obviously, within the organization, there's a feeling that Cody Reed has the toughness to take some lumps. That's what, you would worry about. Will a guy continuing to hit his head against the wall lose his confidence? Will that hurt his development? Clearly, the Reds, Brian Price, feels this is a hard-headed guy. And he's right that the only way a pitcher is going to gain the confidence that his stuff will work against big-league hitters is to see the stuff work against big-league hitters. So, he's gambling in the next three or four starts, which is all he would have been able to make in AAA, this being August, that in those three or four starts, something will click, one particular matchup. He'll have a couple of left-handed hitters in a row come up, and he will bury them, and that will sort of flip the switch. And all of a sudden, you know, he will feel like a guy that should be pitching in the big league. So I totally understand the thinking, and the key to whether it works or not is really the mental toughness that Reed has. The easier thing is to send him out, but if he's a mentally tough guy, this will be good for him.
Yeah, it'll be very good. And, I mean, it's one thing for a guy who's, say, a 10-year veteran to go through a struggle like this when they have a track record of success, but for a guy Reed's age and with little experience and with no track record of success, it makes that mental anguish that much more to know that you have no confidence to draw from, at least from a major league success standpoint. So it's an uphill battle right now for Cody Reed. But like you said, he is proving himself to be kind of a mentally tough kid. He's going to work himself through this, and hopefully that success will come sooner rather than later. And Phil, one aspect of the team I want to really touch on that hasn't gotten a lot of press, at least not mainstream, maybe in Cincy though, but the work of the bullpen. I mean, in talking to Mark Sheldon, our MLB.com reporter for the Reds earlier this season, you know, we spent every week talking about how bad the bullpen was, quite frankly. But now, I mean, I'm not saying that they're the 2015 Royals, but it's been much improved. And I think the two guys at the front of that have been Michael Lorenzen and Raisel Iglesias. And Iglesias, a guy that really intrigues me. He was the opening day starter for this team. He gets hurt, and then they place him in the bullpen upon returning. Well, all he's done is put together 20 consecutive scoreless innings as a reliever. So do the Reds feel that he's found a permanent home in that bullpen, or do they feel that, you know what, he's clearly got his stuff back, his mojo, his confidence, and we don't want to waste him, quote-unquote, that's not the right word, but we don't want to waste him in the bullpen. We want to get him back in that rotation. What do you think the line of thinking is here regarding Iglesias?
I think he's going to be in the bullpen for a while. I mean, it doesn't mean he can't move into the rotation. I look at guys like Kenny Rogers at the start of his career, Pedro Martinez at the start of his career. You know, you can be a guy with really good stuff, and to spend 2 or 3 years in the major leagues kind of learning your craft as a reliever does not limit your long-term potential, and it, you know, you actually could be conserving yourself. And I think the Reds are smart to value the seventh and eighth innings. Not that they didn't value them in the past, but you know, they've had a really hard time, as you and Mark talked about, finding guys that could get a lead to the closer. When that was Aroldis Chapman, they just couldn't seem to do it, and post Chapman, the same thing. That is a quick way to improve your team. I know the last time the Reds were at Wrigley Field to play the Cubs, people in the Cubs clubhouse were talking about how the Reds are becoming a tough team to play, that lineup, especially the top six hitters in the lineup, are no fun for the pitchers. And then you can get down to some uncomfortable at-bats at the end of the game. Lorenzen, has a perfect reliever arm. You know, he's that perfect power arm that everybody's looking for to find to build a bullpen around. So he and Iglesias could be, they could really be pieces that help the Reds get turned around. And it doesn't mean that they're not going to have, in Iglesias' case, probably especially, doesn't mean he's not going to have a long, successful career as a starter, but this could be a nice way to ease into it.
Yeah, and that's a great comparison you made with the career trajectory of Pedro Martinez, the way that he started out with the L.A. Dodgers. We saw what he became, a Hall of Famer, of course. And in my humble opinion, there will never be another Pedro. But we have heard in the past, the recent past, some comparisons between Iglesias and Pedro, the makeup, the arm, the electricity. Do you kind of see that too? Are there some flashes of Pedro Martinez when you watch Iglesias sometimes?
Well, I think Pedro gets brought up a lot when somebody has an electric arm and it's not packaged in Nolan Ryan's body. Marcus Stroman comes to mind. I think it's a natural, easy comparison to make. And a flattering one to the guys it gets made to. I think we should let Iglesias play out. And this is a guy who had success in Cuba before he came to the major leagues. So he has his own identity. I don't think he has to be Pedro.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's a very tough comparison to put any, you know, young pitcher under an all-time great like Pedro Martinez. But so far, so good for Raisel Iglesias. Like I said, over 20 innings of scoreless ball out of that Reds bullpen. He has helped completely turn that thing around in what was once a very beleaguered Reds bullpen. Phil Rogers, we appreciate the time filling in this week on this Thursday, and we will certainly talk again soon. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Cincinnati Reds.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.